We're in the middle of our most asked question series, and we're shifting gears just a little bit this week to answer the question, how can I learn to be an effective writer? And then in our next episode, we're going to talk about being an effective speaker. So even if you've never thought about writing and speaking, both of these episodes are really going to give you some biblical principles for effectively communicating truth, which is something all of us are called to do, whether you become a professional writer or speaker, or just communicate truth in everyday life. So I hope it will be encouraging and practical for you. Before we jump in, I wanted to remind you that you can still register for our week-long discipleship training program here at Ellerslie in August. It's happening early August, or a five-week program in the fall. So if you're looking for a time to just get away from the noise and the distractions of daily life and be immersed in truth and just meet like-minded men and women from all around the world and just be encouraged in the fellowship of the saints and in the truth of the Word of God, Ellerslie is a great place for that to happen. Just go to Ellerslie.com to learn more or click the link in this podcast description. Let's dive into becoming an effective writer. Now, my story of being a writer, my husband and I have written close to 30 books, but it wasn't something that I started out with a vision to do. I always loved writing stories as a little girl, but it's not like I thought someday I'm going to be a professional writer. In fact, when Eric and I first got married, we weren't expecting to write books at all. We wanted to become medical missionaries. So we were both pursuing medical school. I was pursuing a nursing degree. He was pursuing a medical degree. So writing, especially writing Christian books, was not really on the radar. We both liked writing music. And again, I had written stories when I was a kid, but that was about it. And I remember going to a Christian writers conference around that time in kind of that early marriage stage of life, because a lot of people wanted us to share our story. And I thought, well, I have really no idea how to write my story or how to write a book about it, but I'm willing and open if God wants to do something with this. And I was also kind of an ulterior motive was that Eric and I were getting tired of repeating our story over and over again. We had made some unusual decisions and had an unusual love story, but telling the same story over and over again was getting a little tedious. So we thought maybe we could write it into a little booklet and just give it to people when they ask. I remember going to a Christian writers conference, and it felt really overwhelming and really daunting as I heard all of these workshops about writing. And a lot of it had to do with, how do I get my foot in the door in Christian publishing? How do I get my message out there? And it felt like almost impossible to ever make an impact in the world through writing. And I think I walked away feeling more like, okay, this is pretty much impossible to reach anyone through writing, then I felt a clear path forward. But I really had no idea to begin. God was continuing to nudge Eric and I to put our story down on paper. And so when we were in our first year of marriage, we just took some spare time and he wrote some chapters and I wrote some chapters and we tried to kind of merge them together into a semblance of a book. And again, it was like this little staple-bound booklet. I don't think it was really very well written, but a publisher got a hold of that book and said, I really want to make this into a book that can go all over the world. People need to hear this story. They need to know that God is interested in writing love stories, and I think this book can go all around the world. Now, again, we had really no idea what we were doing. We had been to one like Christian writers conference and gotten a few little tidbits there, but it's not like we had any education or practical training for how to write a book. And I remember the process was a little bit stressful. We were going through it and trying to like compile our thoughts and all that God had done in our relationship into this book and work together as a couple in our first year of marriage. It was a little bit of a stress point. I remember one time the manuscript was laying on the coffee table and Eric was so frustrated, he just kind of shoved it onto the floor. Like, I am sick and tired of this whole experience. But God really began to give us guidance and show us how to put our story together in a way that people could read it and glean from it. And that first book did go all around the world. And we didn't want to just share our story, just our story. We also wanted to share principles that we felt that God had shown us in his word as we were walking through our story that could apply to everyone, no matter where they were at, what season of life that they were in. And God used that first book tremendously. And I think it kind of even shocked us. And so he began to redirect us from medical missions into using our story and our message to challenge our generation into a closer walk with him. Again, not a direction or a path I would have expected to take, and not something I've really felt that equipped for, but something God clearly led us into. And we've been talking about the voice and leading leading of God, one of the things that both Eric and I were very clear on is that God was leading us to write our story and share our message because it wasn't something we either one of us naturally wanted to do. In fact, we were pretty resistant to the idea at first as far as it being a life direction or a full-time focus, and God had to change our heart. I'm going to talk more about that in the next episode. But really, for those of you who don't know, the way that the ministry of Set Apart began was really through that very first book that Eric and I wrote. We eventually kind of morphed all of that material into a book called When God Writes Your Love Story, which became a bestseller in Christianity. And that, again, totally shocked us because when I even look back at the book and I think, you know, it's really not that well written because we didn't know what we were doing, but God used the message, He used the biblical principles that we were bringing out in that book to kind of shape the thinking of a generation. And we were so amazed to see what God did. And through that book, God began to open doors for me to speak into the lives of young women. We would speak and travel and share our story, and women would come up to me and share their story and ask me questions. And I began to feel that it was on my heart to write books for women who were a little bit younger than me, who were going through a lot of the same struggles that I had gone through. So I sat down and I wrote my first book, solo book, which was Authentic Beauty. Actually, Eric really helped me with that book quite a bit and got really, really into the writing of it. And he kind of had to take a step back and really, okay, I'm a man, I'm not a woman. He was super into the writing of that book. But it was a stressful process at first because we were learning as we were going. And I think with that book, Authentic Beauty, which is kind of the first book I ever wrote for women, it took almost a year to write that book. Now, after 30 books or so, writing a book could just take, you know, maybe a month, depending on how much time I devote to it. But back then, it was so hard to articulate the things that I wanted to communicate in a way that other people could understand. I think that's the biggest struggle with writing is you might have all of these thoughts and ideas, but getting them into a package that other people can grasp and relate to is the biggest challenge. It's really, really important to be led by God in what you're writing and even how you're communicating truth, especially when you're writing to share truth, because it's really easy to let your own human ideas and your own human opinions kind of cloud the truth. And one of the things that God challenged Eric and I in our first few books especially is to always go back to principles from the Word of God that could apply to everyone and not just share a whole bunch of our own opinions. And to use a lot of the transparency of our own story and our own journey to communicate what God had done in our life. Because if you just write something that is just truth, 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 it might be true and it might even be well said. But if you don't kind of cushion that with a personal experience of how this truth applied to your life, it's a lot harder for people to grasp it. When you give personal and practical examples, people can understand the truth that you're trying to communicate so much better. Those were some of the lessons that we learned in our first couple of books. One of the things that I had to learn in the beginning of my writing career, which I wasn't planning on having a writing career, that's just how God led, is do not despise the day of small beginnings. That's a scripture that God brought me back to a lot because it felt very smallish. Here we had this idea of like going on the mission field. It was a very romanticized idea of missions work, but we thought, you know, we're going to be rescuing people and, you know, saving lives and all these things. And then God directed us to become writers and speakers, specifically on the area of godly relationships. And it felt very smallish, but God began to show us that we were not to despise the day of small beginnings. And if we were faithful in these small opportunities that He was bringing to us, He would grow them into bigger opportunities. And we began to recognize that an entire generation was being shaped by the truths that He was speaking through these books. And that was just an awe-inspiring revelation that He would choose to work through us as these humble vessels who really didn't know a lot about what we were doing. Another key principle was to just offer our fishes and loaves. You know, the little bit that we had the experience of God writing a love story. We had the experience of God just pulling us out of just worldly pursuits and into a set apart life with Him. And we had a little bit of writing experience. And we just took that little bit we had to offer and said, okay, God, this is yours. Use this for your glory. And we watched Him do that. Also, don't underestimate the power of prayer. I remember Amy Carmichael, who, whenever she would write a book or a pamphlet or any type of little devotional, because their ministry, Donover, would always send out these little these little books that would go all over the world, she said they would always have this prayer time where they would place the item, the book or the booklet or whatever it was, in the center of the room, and they would all just take turns praying over the content of that book, the reach of that book, the hearts of the people who would read that book. And her books are still read by Christians today. In fact, her writing has been very influential in my life generations after she even lived. And I really believe that the prayers that they poured into those books and those writings were part of, a big part of the reason why they're still so impactful today. There's this amazing line that you have to find, this balance that you have to find between being transparent and authentic and real and sharing your story and not crossing that line of oversharing, because there is a intimacy and kind of meeting God in the secret place and guarding that and protecting that in your relationship with Him, but also taking them on the journey with you so that they understand that these aren't just truths you've thought about intellectually, but they're truths you've lived out and personally walked through. So letting God show you what that means for you in your writing, how much of your story can you share? How much do you need to keep guarded? And when you do share your story, do it in a way that is very real and honest and transparent, not in a way that leads people to celebrate sin or struggles, but in a way that leads people to celebrate the amazing faithfulness of God. So I want to share with you just a few practical writing tips that I have learned that God has directed me in over these past 20 plus years of writing so many books and so many magazine articles. And again, these are things that have worked really well for me and how God has led me, but everyone has a different story and journey when it comes to writing. So whether you are writing a letter to someone, whether you're writing a blog or a social media post or an article or even writing a book, I'm hoping that these principles will just encourage you that this is a powerful tool for communicating truth when it's yielded to God. The first practical that I want to share is to challenge your readers by leading them to truth rather than hitting them over the head with truth. And it's just really easy to do that when you're really passionate about the truth that you're sharing and you see error in the culture and you want to correct that error by sharing truth. It is really easy to just blaze in there and just begin to kind of like pound people over the head with truth. If you write in a way that is sort of like, you need to change and you need to realize this and you need to do that, it can come across that you are just kind of looking down your nose at your audience, even though that may not be your heart at all. So I have learned to use words like we and us and our generation and those of us who struggle with this, so that I'm including myself in the processing of truth and I'm not just throwing truth at other people. So if you use phrases like everyone needs to realize and so many people do this and you need to change in this area, you can say some phrases like that, but it needs to be done sparingly so that you don't put yourself above your audience, but you go on the journey with them. And if possible, when you are challenging people with truth, include yourself in the challenge and make sure that you let them know you're not wallowing in defeat, you're not defeated by these things, but that you're constantly being challenged to grow and go deeper in the truths that you're sharing. And don't take that attitude like, I've arrived, I've got this all figured out. Sometimes in my early writing, I look back and I think, you know, I wasn't trying to come across as prideful or trying to brag about where I had come, but I was so passionate about the truth that I was sharing that I accidentally came across that way. And I had to go back and soften some of those kind of prideful statements into a more inclusive, we all go through this struggle, this is how God has led me, etc., instead of, hey, you're messed up and you need to change in this area, because that was never my heart, but it's just easy to default into that pattern. Also, use your own story and your own life experiences as much as possible. Now, it's really important not to only use your own story and life experiences. I have seen some people do that where they leave biblical principles out of it, and then you're just sharing experience. But when you combine the power of scripture and biblical principles with your own life experience, or maybe the experience of other people, that is a really powerful combination, because it shows the truth and the principles and practical ways that you yourself or other Christians have lived those things out. And that's why I love to share stories of heroes of the faith and Christians I've read about throughout history, because it shows them living out these amazing truths from the Word of God. And so I try to share as much of my own story as I can and as many stories from other Christians who have lived these things out as possible. And when you're sharing your own story and your own life experience, be humble and vulnerable when you need to be, but also hope-filled and triumphant. It's really easy to fall into like a false humility where you're like, none of us really know the answer. I'm defeated. You're defeated. Let's all be defeated together. That's a popular writing style today. And it's kind of touted as like authentic and real, but it's very defeated. When you share your own story, you need to include yourself in the struggle and be transparent about your struggles, but also the hope of Christ. You're not just spewing out your struggles. You're leading them somewhere. Sort of like Paul's encouragement, follow me as I follow Christ. You're going somewhere. You're going towards truth. You're not just wallowing in defeat. So ask God to show you how to do that where you're humble, but you're not falsely humble with a false sense of authenticity where you celebrate defeat. Another principle is to share maybe a personal crisis or a difficulty that you went through, and then talk about how God redeemed the situation and taught you through it, through his word, through his truth, through his working in your life. That is an amazing writing model because you're not just sharing the struggle. You're not just sharing the, I've arrived and got this all figured out. You're sharing the journey with them. And when you get to the end of sharing your journey or the story, it can be really helpful to offer practical encouragement. So you can give very practical ways that people can apply these truths to their situation. And it's really important to always finish or conclude with encouragement, hope, life-giving scripture, and really lead them to something that they can grasp and walk away with. I found it really helpful to start with an outline whenever I'm writing, whether it's an article or a blog or even a book, to start with something that is really engaging, that really helps them be drawn in, like a personal story or a moment from my life, and then get to the truth that I want to communicate. Communicate that in a concise way. If you can't communicate a truth or an idea in like a sentence or two, you're probably trying to communicate too many things in one piece. So maybe divide that into two articles or two books or whatever. And then remember to give a lot of scripture with any teaching portion that you want to have in your writing piece that you really back it up with the Word of God. One of the things that has been disturbing to me as I've read blogs and social media posts and even books is that a lot of times we see a lot of people sharing their own thoughts and ideas, but not backing them up with scripture. And scripture and truth from the Word of God is really the only thing that is going to change a life. So story and illustration is great, but if it doesn't lead you to truth, if it doesn't lead you to scripture, or if you're trying to teach without scripture, it's just human opinion and it doesn't have the same power as when you bring in the Word of God. And so the other principle that I want to encourage you with is to have a Christ-centered attitude in all of your writing, where you can be confident in the truths that you're communicating because they come from the Word of God, but you're also humble in the sense that you haven't just figured this all out and you haven't just arrived. As Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And also write about things that you know and things you have walked through, things you have gained victory in, not just things that you're just starting to ponder in the Word of God or things you're just starting to mull over. Because a lot of modern bloggers, a lot of people who are influencers on social media, they get a thought or idea in their head and they just kind of spew it out there for the world to see. It might be undefined and undeveloped, and it's maybe not totally backed up with scripture. They just want to get it out there. And that can really lead to a lot of harm and danger because, you know, somebody might read that 20 years later and it might shape their thinking and it might not even be based in truth. It's just some random person's thought. So be really careful about that. We want to avoid the idle babbling and speaking about things that we know not, as it talks about in Jude 1:10. That doesn't really exhort people towards truth. As I said earlier, back up all of your key points with supporting scripture, even if you're just giving a scripture reference. One of the things people constantly tell me about my writing is that they love how I'm always pointing them back to scripture. And I think that should just be a given, but it's fairly unusual today, which is why people point it out to me. But yet scripture, again, is what has the power to change. And when you're telling stories about your life or the life of others, it's important to be detailed and specific in telling your story. You could say something like, one night I gave my life to Christ, but you could also say, one night I fell to my knees beside my bed with tears running down my face. I was finally ready to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. That's a lot more descriptive and detailed, and you really pull someone into that experience versus just, yeah, one night I gave my life to Christ. So really think about how you can pull them into the key moments of your story that you're sharing. And again, you want to make sure that your reader goes on the journey with you. So what were you thinking? What were you feeling as you went on this journey? Don't just tell them what you went through, but invite them to walk through that experience with you. And one of the ways that you can draw your reader into the scene of whatever you're trying to express is expressing clear emotions and painting a vivid picture of what you remember about that moment in your life that you're talking about. Instead of saying something like, I began to feel sad, you can say something like, I remember this cloud of heaviness just settling over my heart. I remember, you know, it was late at night and I couldn't sleep. Those kinds of things really help them feel what you were feeling at the time. Instead of just saying, yeah, it was a hot room, the heat in the room was oppressive. You know, those kinds of descriptions, and you can overdo that. You don't want to over-describe, but adding some of that detail can really be helpful. And the other thing that I would say is that it's really important to choose the right terms to express and communicate truth. So for example, when Eric and I were first writing about a God-centered love story, we wanted to communicate the concept of surrendering your love life, your romantic life to Christ. But that seemed a little vague and hard for people to grasp. So we began to pray, what is a more creative way of expressing the very same truth? And we began to feel the impression that God was kind of leading us towards giving God the pen, letting him write your love story. And that terminology, that kind of word picture, really resonated with the generation we were communicating to, as opposed to just surrender your love life to Christ, give God the pen and let him be in control, let him write your love story. And it really helped them grasp the truth we were trying to communicate. Or if you're talking about holiness and righteousness, the term set apart for God was something that I felt impressed to start sharing with my readers, and it really clicked. It was so much easier to understand being set apart, separate from the world, separate from the culture, the modern thinking, rather than if you just use a term like holiness or righteousness, which are both beautiful terms in scripture, but they can be a little vague and hard to understand. But a term like set apart resonates a little bit more. And yet it's saying the exact same thing. When Eric was writing to men, instead of just saying be a godly man, he came up with the term, well, he didn't come up with the term, he heard the term warrior poet, and he loved that because it was talking about the godly strength and the sensitivity that God designed a man to have. So he used the term warrior poet all the time, and it really resonated with the men that he was speaking to. And then when I was speaking to women on modesty, instead of talking about modesty, I would use the term feminine mystery or mystique. And that really was just a different way of saying the same thing that people could resonate with and relate to and understand better. So really begin to think creatively in the truths that you're trying to communicate. You may not come up with terms just like that, but God can show you ways to speak to your audience where you're not watering down the truth, but you're creatively communicating truths from his word in a way that they can grasp. One of the things that is so important to remember is that even if you don't feel qualified to write or to share your story or to write a blog or an article or even a letter to someone, if you submit this area of your life to God, he can begin giving you words to say and training you how to be an excellent communicator of truth. When our creative director, Annie, first came to our ministry, she was first coming on board to just assist us with whatever we need and be a nanny to our firstborn child. But yet she had this desire for photography and design, and she had never had any formal training in that area. But I remember her specifically choosing to dedicate that gift or that desire that she had to God and say, Lord, you train me, you teach me how to cultivate this gift for your glory. And I watched God do that in her life in a very powerful way. And now she is the designer of the Set Apart magazine and does such a beautiful, amazing job without ever having gone to school for that or gone through any formal training. God just began to lead her one step at a time of how to cultivate that gift. And that's basically what I've done with my writing as well. I have never sat down to write an article or a book and not had something clear to share. Sometimes I've been on a deadline and I've had to come up with an article in a very short period of time, or even a book that I was like, I have to write this book quickly and I don't know what I'm going to say. But then when I pray and I say, God, I dedicate this project to you, I dedicate these writing skills, whatever they are, even if they're fish and loaves, I dedicate them to you. God comes through, and I always have something clear that he gives me to share in that writing piece. He has always been faithful in this area. Offer your writing first and foremost to him, and don't just try to impress other people. If it's truly as unto him, it's something that he's going to bless and use. If you're just trying to impress other people, like a lot of people out there do on social media and blogging, it's going to be maybe a splash in the pan of human success, but it really won't bring him glory or have eternal value. And don't measure success based on numbers. You may never know this side of heaven how God will choose to use something you have written to change a life. Amy Carmichael, some of her most amazing books that have impacted the church the most were just simple letters that she wrote to the children who were adopted into her ministry. And later they became books that changed the concept of how the church interacted with certain truths. But she just offered them to God and was faithful with what was right in front of her. And God multiplied and blessed her writing. Oswald Chambers, very similar story. He was just serving on the mission field during the First World War and sharing truth with these soldiers who had just come from, you know, the battlefield and could lose their life every day. And all of his messages, his wife recorded in shorthand. And after he died at a pretty young age of disease on the mission field, she took all of his messages and turned them into books. And that eventually became the most famous devotional ever, My Utmost for His Highest. Oswald never knew that those messages that he prepared and worked at were going to reach Christians all over the world. So never underestimate, never despise the day of small beginnings. When you dedicate anything that you write to the glory of God and you are doing it as unto Him, it's amazing how He can use that for eternal impact. So I hope that will give you just a quick glimpse into the process that I've gone through as a writer and some of the key principles that I've learned along the way. I encourage you to, if you are feeling impressed or burdened to share truth through writing, immediately take it to prayer and let God lead you one step at a time. And it's something that is such a need in today's world and something He can powerfully use for His glory. Next week, we're going to be talking about how to become an effective speaker. So we're going to build on some of these principles that we've shared today. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. If you'd like to go deeper into living a set-apart life for Christ, I invite you to visit us at setapart.org. I pray you have a blessed and Christ-centered week.